Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are beginning in chapter 20. The Lord also spoke unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled.
Now, I want to point this out. It's so easy to think that if a man just kills somebody unintentionally, he just runs to the city and he's protected. No, you had to go through a legal process. You ran to the city and you go to the legal authorities of the city and you tell the legal authorities of the city what has occurred. If the avenger of blood comes to that city, he goes to the legal authorities of that city. And then it's like a court. They hear the case. And if the man has is legitimate and he hasn't killed a person intentionally, then he is protected by that city. But even at that, there are stipulations. His protection is dependent upon him staying within that city's boundaries. Okay? If he goes outside of that city, the avenger of blood can kill him and not be guilty. And he has to stay there until the death of the high priest. Now, once the high priest dies, then he can go back to his own place. But this is a legal matter. It's not just a matter of fact thing. I mean, this is very legal, the way it's set up.
Verse 7, And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh.
So you have three on each side, three cities of refuge on each side. These things are somewhat strategically located to where the person can legitimately get to a place without being killed, whether it's on the east side or the west side of Jordan. Now, God covers all the bases. You understand? He's real smart. He thinks ahead. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows men's hearts and how evil they are and how they think. And so God makes the right provisions.
These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Chapter 21. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, out of the tribe of Asher, out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, and Bashan, 13 cities. The children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, and out of the tribe of Gad, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities, which are here mentioned by name, which the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had, for theirs was the first lot. And they gave them the city of Arba by the father of Anak, which is the city of Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, which is suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city, and the villages thereof, gave they to Caleb the son of Jephunneh for his possession. Thus they gave the children of Aaron the priest Hebron with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for their slayer, and Libna with her suburbs, and Jatir with her suburbs, and Eshtemoah with her suburbs, and Holon with her suburbs, and Deber with her suburbs, and Ain with her suburbs, and Jutta with her suburbs, and Beshemesh with her suburbs, 9 cities out of these 2 tribes. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with her suburbs, Geba with her suburbs, Adonath with her suburbs, Almon with her suburbs, and all the cities of the children of Aaron. The priests were 13 cities with their suburbs. And the families of the children of Kohath with the Levites, which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem with her suburbs, and Mount Ephraim, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs, and Kibzaim with her suburbs, and Beth-horon with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Eltekiah with her suburbs, Gibbethon with her suburbs, Ajalon with her suburbs, Gath-rimmon with her suburbs, 4 cities. Out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Taanach with her suburbs, Gath-rimmon with her suburbs, 2 cities. All the cities were 10 with their suburbs through the families of the children of Kohath that remained. And unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, out of the other half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Beshtera with her suburbs, 2 cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishon with her suburbs, Dabara with her suburbs, Darmath with her suburbs, and Ganim with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with her suburbs, Abdon with her suburbs, Helketh with her suburbs, and Rehob with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Hamath-dor with her suburbs, and Kartan with her suburbs, 3 cities. All the cities of Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And unto the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites, out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with her suburbs, Karta with her suburbs, Dimna with her suburbs, Mahala with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with her suburbs, and Jahazan with her suburbs, and Kedemeth with her suburbs, and Methatha with her suburbs, 4 cities. out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Mahanaim with her suburbs, Heshbon with her suburbs, Jazer with her suburbs, four cities in all. So all the cities of the children of Merari by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all the cities. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into the land. There they failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass.
So, God kept his word. But now, if you understand, there's still inhabitants in the land that the Israelites, the particular tribes, are responsible for driving out. God said he would give them the land. God gave them the land. When you had all this military campaign, all these armies coming against them, they were all defeated. You understand? And so now they have their territory. Now Israel has settled in to the land, but each tribe has not taken all its territory. They've been distributed to them. All right, you have this city, you have this city, you have this city, you have this city. They have to take those cities, you understand? And then, or the territory, and then with the Levites, they're occupying these various cities. And for those that are superstitious about 13, isn't it interesting that Kohath received 13 cities? And then 13 cities, and then 12 cities. So, Get that out of your thinking, okay? So the Levites, the three sons, or the three families, I should say by now, they received 48 cities. When it says suburbs, it's talking about the pasture lands. In other words, not only were they given the cities, but outside the city to where they can have pasture for their flocks. And you understand the Levites had possessions, okay? They didn't have a vow of poverty and all this kind of stuff. They had possessions, so they had the suburb area for their flocks, or they could actually have crops or whatever, you understand?
Chapter 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get ye unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan.
So they kept their word. They made a promise to Moses, and Moses said, if you keep the promise, you get this land. But he told Joshua, if they don't keep the promise, then they don't get the land. They kept their promise. They did exactly what they said they would do. They stuck with Israel, fighting against their enemies. And now Joshua says, all right, my paraphrase, you've kept your word. You've done what you obligated yourself to do. Now you go back to your own families, your own territory, and go back with much wealth. See, what you have to realize, and this is beyond my comprehension, really, is how much possessions they're getting out of all this territory that they're taking, out the herds, the flocks. And then this is distributed among all these. So the Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh, they're going back with a lot of possession. You understand? They have all these herds and all this other stuff they're going back with. If not to mention all the booty that they took off of the soldiers that fought against them and the possessions in the cities and this type thing. And so God is keeping his word in that they are blessed abundantly. You understand? And so they're well paid for their services. Okay.
Verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents.
Now, note that he reminded them, he stayed true to God. That's the big thing. He stayed true to God.
Now to the one half tribe, to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession and Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold, and with brass and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes, of each chief house a prince, throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel.
Let me stop you just a minute. I want you to show you something. Under Joshua's leadership, he has this nation disciplined. You follow God, and if there's a tribe that's not following God, then we'll take care of that tribe. And so when they hear that this altar's built, they have in their mind that this altar's built with ill intent to worship something other than the true God. And so they muster the army. They get ready to go against them, but before they do, they send an envoy out to investigate and find out what's going on before they attack these two and a half tribes.
Verse 15, and they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be clean, unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity.
Now look at this. They're offering them an out. Listen.
Yeah.
If this over here has wrong influence, evil, come over here. We'll divide and give you a portion on the west side of the Jordan River. But don't you rebel against God. Okay, so they're giving them an out. But they're going to find out that they're not in rebellion anyway, okay?
Verse 21, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if it to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us, and you, your children, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they shall so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God, that he is before his tabernacle.
All right, so there, given their rationale, this is the reason we built this altar. This is a replica of the altar. This is for a witness. This altar was not built to offer burnt offerings on. This offering is built as a reminder to the people on the west side that we serve the same God here on the east side, and so that they don't think that we're enemies with them, you understand? And they still saying that they go to where God's name is to offer the burnt offerings, the peace offerings, the sacrifices. God said all those were to be offered where his name was. And at that particular time, that would have been Shiloh. And so this altar that they built was not out of rebellion, but out of, it was a witness for preservation, if you will. Okay.
Verse 30. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And that they destroyed the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God.
Now, I want you to note something here. Note who the main figure is that is confronting them. We would call this a diplomatic envoy, okay? And so who is leading this? The priest. It's showing you who's ruling the country, okay? It's God's people that's ruling the country. And so the priest is the one and reports to Joshua and the rest of Israel the truth of what this altar was about. And when they give the report, they follow the advice of Phinehas. They believe what his report is. And it's so different today. We don't want God to have part in decision making, but God's representatives were the one making the decision. Mm-hmm. You understand? And we need to get that back to the forefront.
Chapter 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you.
So Joshua's reminding them of what God has done for them. Here, you have to appreciate this. He's getting old and he's concerned about the nation. He knows the pattern of the nation. You understand? I mean, he learned some things in 40 years walking around the wilderness. And even though they were under his leadership, and even though they had done what God said in occupying the territory, they still had some major issues. And so Joshua said, I'm old enough now that it won't be too long in the future before I die. And I want to remind you of what God's done for you. In other words, how important it is that you continue to serve God. Don't you stop serving God after I die. You continue serving God, remembering what God has done for you.
Verse 4. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside thereon to the right hand or to the left.
Now, as you see the exhortation that Joshua is given to these people, keep the law. You obey this law of Moses. Don't you even mention the name of the gods of these other nations. You keep God to the forefront. You need to take the day people wanting to study this religion, this God, that God. You know, it's amazing to me how many people go to other countries to study the gods of that country. How many people from the United States go to other nations to study the gods of the nations. And that's absolutely ludicrous, because what's going to happen, you can give place to the devil, and then these demons are going to start teaching you things and get you to turn away from God. Joshua's warning them, don't you mention their name. You stay loyal to God. You know who's protected you. And just remember that all these gods of these other nations couldn't protect them. Your God defeated all their other gods. Don't forget it.
Verse 7. I'm going to catch up with Pete here. That ye came not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you.
Now that's more profound than you think. It's not just a passing statement that they're making. Here, you think about David's mighty men and how one man could defeat hundreds. Why? Because the Lord is standing with him. The Lord divinely intervenes. He said, one will put a thousand to flight, because the Lord is fighting with you. And so he's really encouraging them, stay true to God. You stay true to God, then your enemy's no match for you. But if you turn from God, then you lose the protection of God, and you'll find that that enemy will be a formidable opponent that will defeat you.
Verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you.
So Joshua's warning them not to intermingle with the inhabitants of the land. They're still inhabitants of the land, right? There, don't intermingle with them. You drive them out from among you. Don't you intermarry with them. Because if you do, they're going to turn you from God. You look at what happened to Solomon. Here's a man that started out following God. And then he started marrying foreign women. And the scriptures say they turned him from God. He would marry this woman that worshipped this God. This nation worshipped this God. So he would build her a God, build her an altar. Then he would marry this one, a different God. This one, a different God. And he ended up bringing into the land all these gods. That's what's happened to the United States of America. We've embraced all these other nations' gods and brought them in here, and it's created major problems for us. We want to intermingle with them. There is no fellowship with light and darkness. There is no communion with God and the devil. You understand? God and the devil don't associate together. They don't live together. And we have to keep ourselves separate from them. You want to come to this country? Worship God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And if you don't want to worship Jehovah God, I recommend you stay where you're worshiping demons. Don't bring your devil over here. And so we have to keep the door closed to that. But Christians want to embrace this stuff. Well, coexist. My God does not coexist. If you don't believe that, look at Dagon. He lost his feet, his arms, his head. You understand? No, God doesn't coexist, and we're not to coexist. We're not to accept other gods. There's only one true and living God, and we need to stay true to Him. And Joshua is really driving this home to this people. Our time's running out, but when we get into this last chapter, brother, we're going to see that he nails it right here. Okay? And that's what we need to do. We need to take a stand for the true and living God, the one who created heaven and earth, the sea and everything that's in them. And there's no other God that can make that boast. They're all false gods.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. And don't forget who God is.